Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the third midweek in Advent comes from our gospel reading of Matthew. When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." Thus far the text. The reign of Christ and his kingdom isn't supposed to look like this. It isn't supposed to, but it always does. John is the last of the prophets. He should know what his forebears had to endure. Their deeds and lives and deaths should be etched upon his understanding of the office of prophet. But maybe he thought that it was going to be different now. Now that the Christ had finally come, the prophets of old, they were always preaching about and pointing to a Messiah that was far, far in the future. And so for them to suffer violence in the hands of evil men, that kind of made sense. The Christ was so far away. But John, the Christ was right in front of him. John baptized him, had pointed straight to him, as clear as day, and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." Quite confident then, not so much now in our text for this evening. Is it the setting that's changed everything for John? Truly, a prison cell will do that to you. But why do the crosses that we are called to bear always come as such a shock? John's in jail, sent there because he spoke the truth about marriage. That wasn't so bad. What was bad is that he proclaimed it to the wrong person. What did John expect? Now that Jesus was here, Herod would let this accusing law just go unpunished? Where do we get these sorts of notions? God never promised them. Jesus never said that he'd come to free us from all temporal hardship and persecution. Scripture never says, "Blessed are those who haven't a care in the world." True as that may be, the shock still rings disturbingly loud when the prison doors clang shut, or when the doctor speaks the diagnosis of terminal illness, or the deafening silence that comes from a family member who thinks that you are a narrow-minded bigot for what you believe. Somehow, we just assumed that it wouldn't get this bad, at least not for us, even though we're told that it always will. John hears about the deeds of the Christ and immediately has concern of Jesus' legitimacy. I'm curious why that is. Is it that the deeds of the Christ, all that healing and preaching and teaching and miracles of loaves and fish, while nice, aren't exactly what John was expecting of the Christ? Was he looking for more of a temporal sort of Christ instead of this Jesus who seems to be focusing on the spiritual even when he addresses the temporal? Or is John just having a moment of doubt as he awaits his ultimate demise? Surely he knew that he probably wasn't going to make it out of that cell alive. Does he just want to be assured that when he loses his head, that it won't be for nothing? I'm not sure that I have the answer about John. What I do know is that I find his doubt to be eerily familiar. Crosses are sure to come. We've been told that, but it doesn't make it any easier when they befall us. Somewhere along the line, we have this thought that the Christ means temporal glory and a life easily lived. That sort of thing makes sense to us. It's rational. But Jesus never was one for the rational. But perhaps we still can find comfort, maybe a little bit, in this doubting John the Baptist. If the greatest man born of a woman still doubts when he is at his lowest, perhaps I shouldn't be so shocked when I doubt as well. And maybe that says something about doubt. Maybe the whole doubting stuff isn't such a big deal. Now, don't get me wrong here. I'm not saying that it's good to doubt. All I'm saying is that it seems as if doubting is what the sinner does, even if the sinner does know Jesus to be the Christ. For how can the sinner not doubt? When the troubles and persecutions of this life rise up to meet us, some days more difficult than others, is it any wonder that the sinful flesh doubts? Of course not. So don't fear your doubt. Instead, do exactly what John the Baptist did. For when John, in prison, heard about the deeds of Christ, he did not let this doubt swallow him whole, bringing him to despair. Instead, he sought out the Lord, asking his doubting question of him directly. Are you the Christ, or shall we look for another? That speaks volumes. And it should bring us comfort as well. For our Lord has all authority over all things, and therefore can and does use all things to accomplish his ultimate good. And apparently, that even includes our doubt. And so in doubt and temptation, our Lord actually uses this evil to drive us to prayer, that we might speak out loud to our God the doubt that troubles us and our weary souls. Are you really the Christ? Because the way that you're going about all of this Christ business doesn't seem to make sense to me, Lord. And my life certainly doesn't appear to be the life of one who is a child of God. The bills are still many. The addiction is still there. The disease hasn't gone into remission. The world still seems to hate you and your church. My sin of yesterday is still my sin of today. And, if history tells me anything, will still be my sin of tomorrow. So let me ask you, Jesus, are you the Christ, or should we look for another? Temptation drives us to prayer. And so prayer drives us to the hearing of God's Word. And it is in God's Word where we are comforted again with the promises of a Messiah, of a Christ who has accomplished everything that he came to do. And what he set out to do was to be the Christ that saves us from all of our enemies, that causes us to, yes, doubt. Jesus says, "Blessed is the one who is not offended by me," which means blessed is the one who's not scandalized by me to the point of unbelief because of the type of Christ that I am. Blessed is the one who, yes, has doubt and fear and trials and all sorts of questions, and yet is comforted in the promise of a Messiah who conquers those things in a backwards sort of way that doesn't make sense, but nonetheless vanquishes all of your foes better than you could ever hope for. For the blessing doesn't come when things pan out exactly like you would want them to. The blessing comes in the victory over all of your sufferings through the death and resurrection of Christ. The blessing comes when in the very midst of your sufferings, in the very midst of even your death, your God comes to you and brings his cross to you, brings his forgiveness to you, his salvation to you, so that you might look at sin that seems to have won the day and say to it, "You have been forgiven. You have no hold on me." So that you might say to the devil who continually tempts you to doubt, to not believe, "Do your worst, Satan. Your head is already crushed. You have nothing to do with me." So that you might say to death itself, the very death that kills you, "Oh, death, where is your victory? Where is your sting? Thanks be to God that I have the victory over you in Christ my Lord." John, he sits in prison for righteous reasons, for preaching God's word into a world that hates him for it. We too were promised the same persecution, so we very well might doubt too. John did. And he ends up dying in prison. We will die too. But the promise for us is that the dead are raised up again when the good news of Christ Jesus is proclaimed over them. And we are blessed by this backwards Jesus, infant baby in the flesh, all the way to dead man on a cross. We are saved by him and his Christly ways, even when his Christly ways don't make any sense to us. Because he saves in a way that only he can save. And he saves us in the only way that we need to be saved, even if we think differently. So yes, go ahead and doubt your doubts. And then turn to Jesus, just like John did. For he is the one who has, who is, who will come for us as our Christ. We don't ever have to look for another. In the name of Jesus.